Our scripture lesson today is from the book of Jeremiah. Be reading verse 1 and then pick up in verse 4 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie, and they are prophesying to you in my name. I do not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back from this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come to pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. And if you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. It is good to be back. As most of you know, I was out last Sunday. I was in the Pacific Northwest up in the Seattle area. Susan and I left on Monday, and we were returned a week ago Saturday, so we weren't there really for very long. My vision of Seattle was overcast skies and rain, and it was sunny every single day. There wasn't a cloud in the sky when we were there, which was kind of shocking to me. And it's really a beautiful place up there, especially when it's clear. You could see Mount Rainier right there. We were flying in a plane. There it was right out the window. And the Cascade Mountains are there. So there's all these various mountains. They got snow on them and things like that. We took a 2.5-hour tour through the harbor. And we started out on a fresh lake side. And we went through these things called the locks, where you go in there and they shut the gates and then they lower you 18 feet. You go out the other side and you're in the Pacific Ocean. So that was kind of neat. And there's some bald eagles there. And when we come around the end there, there was the Space Needle and the Skyline and the Seahawks Stadium and the Mariners Stadium were right there. So it was really pretty neat. And then there was a restaurant there, so we went into the restaurant and we had their version of a crawfish boil there, only it had clams and oysters, shrimp, and crab legs. So it was pretty good. And it was all very nice, but after a few days, I was ready to get back home. Truth be known, I'm kind of a homebody, and I was actually looking forward to getting back home before we even left. You know, I don't like it. So there's something about being at home. Like I was telling the kids there, you know, there's something when you're at home, you feel secure, you feel centered, you feel grounded, and everything is just where it should be, and everything's just okay, you know. But when you're away from home, you feel a bit uneasy. You feel like you're on shaky ground sometimes. Things are a bit off-kilter. You don't feel centered. You just don't feel quite right. So I was drawn this week to the prophet Jeremiah. And I love reading the Old Testament prophets, but if I could read only one prophet, it would be the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called by God when he was just a youth. He was very young when he was called, around the year 627 BC. And he served God as a prophet for over 40 years. And he served during some very challenging times in Judah. By this point in time, the kingdom was divided. Israel had already been conquered. They were taken over by the Assyrians, and they were sent into exile about 125 years earlier. Now, in the southern kingdom of Judah, it was also about to fall to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, and they were going to be sent into exile. And that's where we sort of pick up our text today. And Jerusalem is located in the southern kingdom of Judah. And Jerusalem has already been under siege for several years by the time Jeremiah writes this letter. And there was a group of folks around 597 that were sent into exile ahead of everyone else before Jerusalem actually fell. They were sent there into exile. So he's writing them this letter in exile. And he's, you know, he's not writing a letter just to any people. He's writing this letter to God's chosen people. So I want you to understand just the gravity of this situation. It was inconceivable to the people of Judah that anything would happen to Jerusalem and the temple, because that's where God was at. And they were convinced that nothing would happen to them because of that fact. Well, they found themselves in exile. And as a people now in exile, they are not only far from home, but they believe they are very far away from God, because God is back there. God isn't where they're at. He's back there. The church can find itself in exile from time to time. We as individuals can find ourselves in exile from time to time. In our text today, exile for the people in Jerusalem meant being sent almost 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem into Babylon. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John indicates that he is in exile on the island of Patmos when he's writing the book of Revelation. So in some cases, exile literally means moving or leaving your home for another place. And recently, less than a year now, I moved from Mesquite out to Plano. And I'd lived in that house since 1992, and that's where kids grew up. My family was there. And before you move, you got to go and fix things up. You got to patch things. You got to paint things. So I was going around the house, and there was a big indention in the wall from a ball. I think we were playing hockey one time, and we shot the ball and put a big dent in the wall. So I patched that up and cleaned that up. Each year for the boys' birthday, we would mark their height on the wall. And some of you may have done that yourselves, you know. And I saved that spot for the very last. When I was doing all my touch-ups, that was the very last one that I painted over. Because when I paint it over, I feel like I'm painting over 20 years of memories, you know. It's challenging. And some of you may have experienced something like that. Perhaps some of you here are going through that process right now. Last Sunday was Elizabeth's last Sunday with us, and she's now in Kingsland, Texas. That can be very challenging. So sometimes, you know, we leave a lot behind like that, and we're leaving much behind, and we're heading to a place that is kind of unknown. So exile can come from physically moving from one place to another place, and we kind of feel like we're in exile at that point. Sometimes the feeling of exile can take place without even moving anywhere. An illness or a death of a loved one, a child moving away, a relationship that you've tried to hold together that doesn't hold together. All these things can make you feel like you're in exile. And we fool ourselves sometimes into thinking that life will just go on like it always has forever. And then one day, things change. And they can change just like that. Sometimes those changes don't happen that quickly. Things change gradually over time. And it takes years, but as you walk or drive through the community or the surrounding city, the drive is different than it was 20 years ago. So you may be in the same place, but you look around and a feeling of being an exile sets in. And when you're in exile, you long for home, but more importantly, you long for God. The exiles in our text today have experienced all of that. An exile is a mystery because it is wrapped up in the sovereignty of God. Verse 4 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." That is a very challenging verse because it clearly says that God was the one who sent them into exile. I encourage you to read the entire book of Jeremiah. I will clue you in that it is a daunting task. The book of Jeremiah, I believe, is the longest book in the Bible, although there's debate over such things. I was kind of shocked this week. Can't we figure that one out even? What is the longest book in the Bible? There's debate on that. I think it's Jeremiah. Some think it's the book of Psalms, some think it's something. Regardless, it's a long book. But it's worthwhile reading because when you look at the book of Jeremiah, one of the things you are confronted with is the sovereignty of God on one hand and the responsibility of God's chosen people on the other hand. In the first half of the book of Jeremiah, God is pleading through the prophet Jeremiah to his people, and he is pleading for them to change their ways. And the second half of the book deals with the consequences that resulted because of their inability to change their ways. So when an individual or a church finds itself in exile, the immediate reaction is to figure out how and why they got into the situation in the first place. I think that's just human nature to do that. There is a need to identify a reason so they can feel in control again. And there is value in that to a certain extent. But as your pastor, I would caution you not to hang around in that area too long, because the answer that you seek to the question can be very elusive. You may never find that answer that you're looking for. One of the clearest words I ever received from the Lord was during a time of exile in my life. And it is etched in my brain. I'll probably never forget it. He said, "You can peer into this all you want to, and you will never find the answer." It's a tough word, but it's a necessary word, and it's a word of wisdom from God. Because we can waste precious time looking for answers for the wrong questions. And perhaps the question we should be looking to answer is not how or why we got to a particular place, but how do we move forward from where we are at now? And that seems to be a recurring theme in the Bible. God is a God who has made a covenant with his people. And God's focus is not on our past, but he's on our future. And think of the people that Jesus encountered. He doesn't say to them, "This is who you are." He says to them, "This is who you are going to be." He encounters two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and they say, "We're fishermen." And he says, "No, you're not. You are fishers of men." There was a woman caught in adultery, and the Pharisees wanted to stone her for her past. But Jesus was more concerned about giving her a future, and he tells the woman, "Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more." The Pharisees were stuck in the past because they were always looking for answers to the wrong questions. An encounter with Jesus Christ does not force us to deal with our past. It forces us to deal with our future. There are two verses in this text that I want to highlight today in specific. The first one is verse 7. It says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare." At our church council meeting today, as I noted earlier, we will have an opportunity to vote on going forward with phase 2 of the Small Church Initiative. And Gloria is here today to discuss some of that with us. The Small Church Initiative does spend some time looking at the past, but it doesn't get stuck there. The Small Church Initiative is really about helping the church look forward into the future. There's no doubt in my mind that the church in the United States right now is going through a time of exile. And it doesn't matter all that much how we got to this point. What matters is how we move forward. So part of moving forward is taking discipleship seriously. And I believe that begins by engaging the scriptures. And nothing quenches your thirst like drinking deep from the cool water in the depths of God's word. So it's my hope that we will start a new Bible study here in September called Covenant Bible Study. It's a 24-week Bible study, and it pretty much covers the entire Bible. And it's in 3 8-week chunks, so you don't have to go 24 weeks in a row. 8 weeks, a little bit of a break, 8 weeks, break, another 8 weeks. So it's in manageable chunks. And the reason I want to do that is because I know of no better way to feed and rehydrate the soul than to dig into God's word like that. But that's only part of the equation. Perhaps more importantly, we need to take verse 7 seriously when it says, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." Getting back to basics with God means getting back to the basics of life in community. And the church cannot ignore the needs of the community in which it finds itself. It needs to seek the welfare of the community in which it finds itself. There will be opportunities, I believe, this year. There will be some people here, possibly from the Philippines, possibly from Liberia, that will give us an opportunity to support them in mission. But the reality is, the mission field is right out that front door. That's the mission field. We don't have to go halfway around the world anymore to find the mission field. The mission field is right there amongst us. So in feeding and rehydrating the soul through God's word and seeking the welfare of the community that surrounds us, God will begin to restore our vision as we are brought out of the darkness of exile into the light of God's presence. This brings me to the final verse today that I want to highlight. It is one of those verses in the Bible that is worth memorizing. So I encourage you to memorize it. And some of you probably already have. You could even invest in one of those refrigerator magnets that have this verse on there. They exist, I'm almost certain. You can find one, just put it on the refrigerator. Verse 11, "For surely I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." That doesn't mean that you will never have those dry times or those times of exile. You will. But it doesn't mean that God has abandoned you either. That's not the case. It's on the contrary. It means that God is going to be with us during those times. And it means that through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, the past and those times of exile do not have the final word. God has the final word, and his word is a word of hope for the future. The Bible speaks clearly that God is much more concerned about our future. We can beat ourselves up over the past and things like that. You hang around there too long and you're going to get stuck and you won't get away from it. God wants you to embrace the future. And he is calling us to a future that he has in store for us. So let's embrace that future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.